And as we're talking Mbume, you know, talking about who Mbume is, where you come from, where you were educated, and then there's this initiative that you bump into, something that touched your heart, something that you wanted to get involved with, and you then decided to join them. In terms of the plight of young girls, realizing that there's a massive shortage of sanitary pads and that not everyone is privileged, then you decided to take this plunge.
Yeah, we did. There was 46 climbers.
Sure.
That eventually went up the mountain, and each climber had identified a school.
Mm-hmm,
Some of the climbers started distributing the sanitary pads before we went up the mountain.
Were the climbers all from Gauteng or from different provinces?
Originally from different provinces, mm-hmm. but the majority is from Gauteng.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was a mix. It was men and women. And the nice thing is that we all believed in one cause. We knew why we were climbing, and that's why we were determined that we are going to climb and we are going to get to the top.
As we were offline, we had to talk about the costs.
Yes.
The actual amount that is required for one, especially with this drive, with this initiative, to actually be able to make it possible. And it is a figure of around 85,000 rand, you said.
Yes.
How did you get to raise that amount of money?
Wow. You know, initially when I spoke to Richard, the founder of Imbumba, mm-hmm. I said, I really want to be part of this, but I don't think I can raise 85,000 rand. And I said, you know what? Because I really want to support the girls. I will take a loan. He said, no.
Interesting. So you were actually prepared to go that far.
I had 10,000 rand that I was willing to put in. It was part of my savings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I put down the 10,000 rand. And now I had 75,000 rand to raise. Mm. And
a mountain on its own, hey?
Yeah, a mountain on its own.
And then you had to start now contacting people.
Oh my God, I'm sure some of my friends were. I started by looking at my Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
At that stage, I had about 300 friends.
Okay.
And I said, okay, if I targeted 120 and asked for 500 rand from each, surely I'll get about 70 or 80 of
Correct.
Them responding.
Yes.
So then I started drafting this message, which I sent on Messenger.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
those that I had numbers of, I would send WhatsApps and say, this is what I'm taking up. This is the challenge that I'm taking on for the girls, basically. And I would like a donation.
And the response rate, how was that?
Oh, my God. Some people ignored me. Like, I would see they're active on Facebook and they're not reading my message. But eventually, I think a month or 2 months down the line, when I started receiving, actually, my first donor was an American friend, Monique Brownlee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She donated $50. And
wow.
then she was the first one that I mentioned that
yes.
my friend Brownlee, Monique Brownlee, has donated.
Then everyone started.
And then people started showing kind of interest, and you know, 500 rand there, and then some people started pledging 1,000 rand, and I was like, oh my God, I've only asked for 500 rand, and eventually some people. I have two people that donated 10,000 rand each.
Interesting.
And about three people donated 5,000 rand.
Shoot.
I was just really humbled.
Just how God works, eh?
That's amazing, you know? So in about 4 months, I had the 85,000 rand.
Amazing. And now, the gear, where do you purchase your gear? Or do you just get a whole package ready for you to take with?
Okay, because the climbers that are part of Trek for Mandela, we are not professional climbers, mountain mm-hmm. climbers. The Imbumba Foundation assisted with procuring the stuff
okay.
from a supplier. So we all had the same quality of gear, the same quality boots, the jackets, the pants, everything that we required was provided for based on the money that we had raised.
All right.
Yeah.
Now comes this health issue that I'm worried about. You and your asthma. How did you then go? What did you then do? Did your doctor say, Mbume, there's no way you are going to go on this? What happened?
Okay, I'm one of those very strong-willed people.
That's what's needed, yes.
Yeah, I know. Other people call it stubborn, but I'm strong-willed.
don't say, I get you. We Zulu like that.
So when I have told myself I am going to do something, I focus. And it doesn't matter what people say. Because, like I said, I'm asthmatic. And a lot of people were really worried, including my family, that climbing a mountain of that height, you know, above sea level, 5,895, might not be an ideal thing in terms of the breathing, because there's less oxygen as you go higher. But when I joined Trek for Mandela, I said to Richard, I'm asthmatic. Do you think that's going to be a problem? And he said, well, I've taken all sorts of people up the mountain. There's somebody, some disabled guy that went up the mountain. I think he had one leg or something. And I thought, if somebody with one leg, and I've got two legs, you know, if somebody with one leg can go up the mountain, surely I can do something about my asthma.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you just needed to have enough medication?
I don't take medication for my asthma. I control it.
Interesting.
Yeah. You can, whatever you put to your mind, you can achieve it.
Mind power.
I don't take the pump or anything. I just manage the situation, especially emotional situations, like when I'm too happy or too upset. That's
when, right.
You know.
So we just need to be careful and not make you too happy.
Oh no, I've mastered that. But anyway, we were given a training regime that we could follow individually, but also there were team exercises that we did. We went to the Drakensberg every 2 months, but also we went to the Westcliff Stairs in Westcliff, Joburg.
Okay. The 200 stairs. How long did the exercising take, the entire exercise program?
God, we had from Monday to Thursday, according to the schedule.
Yes.
But life happens. I mean, we work full time, and you know, so people just made time to be able to train when they could. And you knew what you're up against, so we each, you know, allocated time according to the time that we had. But ideally, we should have been doing it like every week and every weekend, doing the stairs and whatever.
Over a duration of how many months?
We started in January, at the end of January.
So and about then what, 5-6 months?
About 5 months.
Okay.
Because on the 22nd of June was the last training at the Drakensberg.
Okay.
But it was amazing to note the improvement from when we started in January, when
You were actually much better, I guess.
Fitter. It was amazing. And The unfortunate part is there isn't a mountain in the country that's higher than 3,800 meters above sea level to test whether you could cope with the altitude.
Exactly. Yeah, the breathing so, and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, but we got taught that as long as you... Okay, the key phrase was pole pole, which is slowly, slowly in Swahili.
Okay, I've learned something today.
So pole pole. Yes.
All right. Now, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro isn't about facts. It isn't about packing lists. It's not it's actually about the unforgettable adventures. It's about the struggles of reaching the top of Africa.
Yes.
With that said, please take us through how were the day-to-day experiences.
Okay. Well, climbing the mountain didn't start on the day that we landed on Kilimanjaro. Like, I've taken you through what it took to get the funds. and also the exercise.
Which was climbing a mountain on its own.
It was a huge mountain on its own for most of us.
Uh-huh.
And basically, and we then left the country on the 12th of July, all 46 of us, and we arrived in Dar es Salaam, and we were welcomed by the South African High Commissioner,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Tami Moseleku.
Okay.
And from Dar es Salaam, we were off to Kilimanjaro region. We got to the hotel around 12 midnight. No, it was 11,
mm-hmm.
just before midnight.
Yes.
And the following day was the 13th of... It was the 13th of July,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we were part of, you know, this gives me goosebumps because it was an amazing event, and I feel really blessed to have been part of it.
Mm.
We were part of a team that was planting trees in honor of Madiba's 100th birthday.
Beautiful.
And also in honor of Gugu Zulu, who passed on.
May his soul rest in peace.
Yes, and his wife and daughter
were there.
Yes, she actually traveled with us on the 12th.
Oh,
and the Sikho was there, and the daughter, and a whole lot of Tanzanian people,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It was really amazing. So that was the first thing that we did, and I feel really blessed to have been part of it.
Mm.
And that was the day before we started the actual climb. The actual climb started in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We registered at the Marangu Gate.
Okay.
And it starts off in a rainforest. So we're going through all these trees, and, you know, it's almost like drizzling. It's green. Mm-hmm. It's mushy. It's beautiful. It was an amazing walk. And we had lunch somewhere. And, yeah. But
what kind of food do you eat?
Well, we had... a team that helped us with our bags, because each climber had a backpack, a day pack, and then a big bag that has your other stuff,
mm-hmm.
your snacks, mm-hmm. your summit gear, and everything else. So we had about 120 people working mm-hmm. with us, and those that cooked for us. So it was mainly carbs that we had, soup, and a lot of vegetables, and part of this team cooked for us, and some of the meals were pre-packed, especially like lunch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was amazing. Actually, the one part that I hadn't thought much about was, where do we go to the loo? That became very interesting as we got on.
I'm not even going to ask you where.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go there. Well, we went in the bushes, but it got challenging because day one,
mm-hmm.
which was the rainforest,
yes.
The second day,
mm-hmm.
it was still, there were still some trees, but they were thinning out.
Okay.
The third day, it was becoming desert-like. Yeah, like you saw a lot of rocks and shrubs and, mm-hmm. you know. And then...
And there wasn't actually much oxygen either.
Well, that's when it was beginning
yes.
to be a bit difficult.
Correct.
But, you know, pole,
mm-hmm.
one foot in front mm-hmm. of the other.
Indeed.
You know, you cover the distance. But what was amazing for me was when we got to Horombo camp,
mm-hmm.
that was the second camp that we slept at, that was above the clouds. It was so beautiful. I felt really close to God. I felt like... Oh my God, I never thought I could walk through and look at the clouds from, you know,
wow.
the top.
Now, talking about God.
Yes.
Did you learn a great deal about life and about yourself during this walk, during these days, even before reaching the summit?
Yes. Initially, I thought, okay, I'm climbing for the girls. We're going to get them sanitary pads and everybody's going to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
But little did I know how much I would discover about myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a personal journey about the strength that I have. And when I did not have strength, that's when I felt really close to God, because I knew I had done as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
for myself as a person, but when I couldn't, and I knew everybody else was exhausted or whatever, I would just say a short prayer. I'm like, God, you know where we're going. You know why I'm here. And I would carry on.
We are what we think we achieve or fail according to our goals or lack thereof.
Yeah.
When did you decide that you would reach, underline the word reach, because many don't actually reach the summit. And this is the highest freestanding mountain in the world.
Yes.
When did that decision kick in to say, you know what, with my asthma and everything else, all the other challenges that I've been faced with, I am going to reach the summit?
I think there are two levels to that question. The day that I decided that I am going to be climbing, the purpose was to reach the summit. And then the more we talked to people that had climbed before and some that didn't summit, the reality kicked in. But I still said, I will be summiting.
And you were sharing with me that your family was also trying to scare you.
Yeah, I know somebody who does not have feeling on their toes because of frostbite and whatever. But so I was like, I was so determined. And everybody was like, are you okay? Why are you climbing the mountain? You know, and I was like, you know,
you
don't ask me.
I
want to do this. I've wanted to do this for a long time, but also there's goals. And then the second decision making in terms of I will summit was when I got to 4,700 meters above sea level. That's when mountain sickness kicked in.
Is this now day three or day four?
This is now day four, and day four was a long day because we had walked from Horombo to Kibo, which is the next camp.
Yes.
And we only slept for about 1 or 2 hours before they woke us up at 10. Well, they woke us up at 9 to have coffee and biscuits to start the trek at 10 p.m. the night before. So we were walking in the dark. We had headlamps around our heads, and we walked in line and just put one foot in front of the other. And we had amazing guides. We went with Busiso Vilane.
Oh, yes, he was our leader.
He's amazing.
Yes.
But we had other Tanzanian brothers and sisters. I was actually surprised at the, like, seriously tough women who walk up that mountain carrying our heavy bags. Mm-hmm. And at 4,700, I got sick.
What kind of illness?
Nausea. Suddenly,
it's too high.
I was puking and I had to sit down. And we have water packs in our backpacks. We call them bladders, and there's a pipe that comes to your mouth. But we had extra water because at that point there's no water points.
Anywhere.
So you have to be armed with lots of water. Mm-hmm. And water is also your source of oxygen.
Indeed.
Yeah. So then I took my one bottle on the side, wanting to drink. The water was frozen.
That's how cold it was.
And this guy Peter, one of the guides that went with us, sat next to me and said, just take your time, let's sit and try and drink your water. I'm like, my water is frozen. And then he reminds me, you have the backpack, the water in the backpack. So I'm like, oh yeah. So when I try to pull the water, oops, it's also like almost slushy.
Icy.
It's coming. It's icy. But then we had been told when that happens, blow back on the pipe.
Okay.
Your breath will melt the water, and then pull the water to drink. Blow back. So I kept on doing that. We sat there for about 45 minutes, and the other climbers were walking past. And yeah, at some point, sitting there, I said, I cannot give up right now. I think after 10 minutes, I tried to get up. I couldn't. My legs were shaking.
Sure.
And I just fell back on the rock. And yeah, and I sat there. And he took my bag and he said, I'll hold your bag. And after about 45 minutes, that's when we started walking.
So there was a lot of team support.
there was a lot of support. And, you know, even though we walked past some of our colleagues, they had a guide that would be sitting with them, you know, assisting them in whatever way. But as soon as I said that short prayer, when I got up and realized my feet could support me, I knew I was going to summit. I just walked and walked and walked. I think after about 15, 20 minutes, I took my bag from the guide, put it on my back, I carried it, and I carried on walking.
This is now God at work.
Definitely. At that point, I realized what they meant when they said, your mental strength, your belief in God, and your why, the reason why you're climbing, will take you to the summit.
Which takes me to my next statement, where our Heavenly Father wants us to climb higher and higher in this journey that we call our lives.
Yes.
He wants us to be a little better every day.
Yes.
A little more perfect every year.
Yeah.
He has blessed us with everything we need to return to the highest peak in our existence, eternal glory with Him. Your spirituality.
Yes.
How has it grown? How has it improved ever since you've come back?
It's been amazing. It's not even ever since I come back. As I was going up the mountain, I could tell that I can never come back the same. Something is changing. Something will change. And the more we got closer to the top, the more I realized that I am a different person. I mean, right now, I got back on the 20th, and I went back to work on Thursday, and on Monday, I resigned.
Excuse me?
I know. My friends, my family, they're like shocked. I was like, I think I am meant for bigger and greater things, and I'm meant to work with people. So I resigned from my job from the 31st of August. That is my last day of work. And I will find what God wants me to do in the next few days, because I have to find something.
He has
already, there are things that I am
in the pipeline.
In the pipeline that I'm thinking about, but nothing solid.
You do know, though, this is God at work. He wants us to choose. Again, let's focus on the word choose.
Yes.
The right path.
Yes. I realize.
Any fear?
That's the most amazing thing. I've always been scared of not having a job or losing a job. I am not scared.
That is the comfort zone.
Yeah. And my motto as I was preparing for the mountain was, feel the fear and do it anyway.
And you did it. Let's just go for a small musical break. We'll be right back. You are on Changing Gear. We have a very special guest, a woman of substance, I must say, Mpume Nyandu from Emaritzburg. Yes, sharing with us her path, you know, her journey while climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Stay tuned. This is Radio Veritas South Africa.